If you have your Bibles this morning, we want you to turn to a very familiar piece of Scripture, 1 Kings chapter number 21. We were trying to think of a title for the message, and we had wanted to really grab your title, Father's Day 2021. That's what I was going to preach on this morning. And just went back to my office and prayed a little bit this morning, and God showed me two or three new things just sitting in my office, and want to preach on this thought. Don't sell out to a world already sold. 1 Kings 21, if you would stand to your feet this morning. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it's near unto my house. And I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it, or, if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, The Lord forbid it me, that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. But Jezebel his wife came to him and said unto him, Why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, Because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and said unto him, Give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel his wife said unto him, Dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name, and sealed them with his seal, and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in his city, dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letters, saying, Proclaim a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying, Thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him, that he may die. And the men of his city, even the elders and the nobles who were the inhabitants in his city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them, and as it was written in the letters which she had sent unto them. They proclaimed a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. And there came in two men, children of Belial, and sat before him. And the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones that he died. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. And it came to pass when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, Arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, because he refused to give thee for money, for Naboth is not alive, but dead. And it came to pass when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it. That's the reading of 1 Kings chapter 21, verses 1 through 16. Don't sell out to a world already sold. Father, would you help us now to preach the word in the power and the demonstration of the Spirit? Would you fill us with an unction to preach? Would you cleanse us of sin? God, would you empty us of self? And God, would you fill us, God, with your power to declare, thus saith the Lord. God, I pray today for every hearer, those online, those that are here in person, that God, you would allow us to hear the word of God and to make application to our lives. Touch us, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We thank you for standing. You may be seated. I was beginning to think about the title as the Lord was dealing with me about not selling out to a world already sold.
You know the word sold in the scripture, the very first time it is found, it's found in the book of Genesis, chapter 25, and I believe it's verse 33. And it talks about Jacob and Esau and how Esau sold his birthright. He had no cares about the things of God to be a leader in the family. He sold it for his appetite's sake, for a bowl of porridge that he might get over his hunger. He sold out. I looked up the next time I see the word sold in the Bible. It's in Genesis chapter 31, I believe it was. And it's speaking about Rachel and Leah. And both of those girls said, our daddy Laban sold us out. What about that? Then I looked up the third time the word sold is in the Bible. It's about Joseph and how his brothers sold him to the Ishmaelites. And the fourth time, they sold him to the Egyptians. And you can go on and on. It's people are selling out day after day after day. We need some men, fathers, especially you fathers. We need some men who are men of godly character. When I think about Naboth, I think about the godly character that he has. In this day and age, by the society, when you look at the society we live in, it's difficult to discern just exactly what a man should be. Sometimes you cannot even tell if a man is a man. And it's getting worse even as I speak. You cannot look at the highest offices of the land and find godly character. You look and you'll find men that have wealth. You'll have men that have fame, men that have popularity, men that have personality, men that have great athletic ability, men who push the narratives and the social agendas forward in the day and age in which we live, but they're just simply acting out a part. They're like stepping on a stage, and as soon as they step off the stage, you can't tell them and the godly character they portrayed and pretended to have, and now that they're not what they pretend to be. It's sad that the men that our society looks towards or looks up to, the men who have the largest platforms and the largest followings on social media, are rarely men of godly character. But I'm thankful to report to you there are still some godly men. Men who have a godly character. As I grew up, I didn't have to look to Hollywood. I didn't have to look to social platforms or to politics to find a godly man. I found one in my home. Say amen right there. One who raised me. One who taught me. And one who showed me about a man by the name of Jesus Christ. And he showed me and taught me how to be a man of godly character. Oh, how I desire to be a man of godly character for my family, for our church, for our community. We need some men with godly grit, some men with godly character. Good men do not become good men by accident. In 1 Kings chapter 21, you find two men. You find Naboth, and you find a king by the name of Ahab. Now, one of them is a man that everybody ought to want to be, and the other one is a man that nobody ought to want to be. Yet you'll find that the one we want to be is not the one we really are in our daily lives. Number one, I want us to think about Naboth. He was a father who was faithful. He was a man of godly character. Naboth has a vineyard. It is right beside the palace of King Ahab. For Naboth, that vineyard, maybe it was a place where he went to pray. Maybe it was a place that he went to praise the Lord. Maybe it was a place that represented his profession of salvation to the Lord. It's a place of prosperity. It's a place of joy. It's a place of fellowship. It's a place where the true vine abides and blooms and grows gloriously. That vineyard may represent your soul. That vineyard may represent your values. That vineyard may represent your morals. That vineyard may represent your testimony, your witness, your character. Think for a second, if you will. Here's Ahab. who looks and says to Naboth, verse 2, give me thy vineyard. Why, it just makes sense, Naboth. It's right beside my palace. I see it every day. I would just acquire it. It would just be part of the king's gardens. Just go ahead and acquiesce your property over to me. Just give it over to politics. Just give it over to your political party affiliation. It's just go ahead and let us have it. But Naboth said, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. You see, God gave every tribe and every family property, land, possessions. And God declared that that property would be handed down from generation to generation to generation. I won't take the time to read it, but it's found in Leviticus 25:23, Numbers 36:7, and Ezekiel 46 verse 18. This property is intended to be passed down from generation to generation. The Lord wants you to take the teachings and the principles and the precepts of the Word of God and teach them to the new generation coming on. That one day when they grow up, they'll hand it down to the next generation and the next generation, telling them that Jesus saves, telling them that only God is God. There is no other. Naboth was a man of holy principles. He said to King Ahab, King, I don't care who you are. I don't care how much you have to offer. I make my decisions based on what God's Word has to say. And just because it makes sense for me to do, doesn't mean I'm going to do that. I'm going to do what God says. May I just say this morning, God is looking for some men and some women of godly character who will make decisions not based on what Hollywood has to say, not based on what social platforms have to say, not based on political pressure, but make your decision based on the infallible, inerrant, inspired Word of God. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:25, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Just because it makes sense doesn't mean God says it's okay to do it. Furthermore, a Naboth, he's hearing this offer. Ahab says, give me your vineyard. He said, I'm not going to give it to you. He says, well, I'll trade it then. Naboth, I'll give you a better vineyard. I've got many properties. You've got this property right beside the palace, but I've got many properties that are more valuable, that are more beautiful, maybe larger acreage. Well, you've just got a half acre maybe, and I can give you 2 acres over here. And if you won't just give it to me, trade it to me. And see, the offer goes up. And the stakes get a little higher. And if that doesn't seem good to you, Naboth, if you won't trade it to me for a better vineyard, let me give you the worth of it. In fact, I'll give you more than you think it's worth. I'll give you 10% or 20% over if you'll sell out to me for money. Let me say that Naboth was a man of heavenly persuasion. No matter what the king's offer was, Naboth's answer was the same. As the stakes went up, Naboth was unswayed. That's amazing. There are some men who their first answer when the devil comes and says, why don't you compromise right here? Why don't you lower the standard? Why don't you give up your testimony and your witness? Why don't you give in on your character? He said, no! God forbid I do such a thing. But give it a little bit more pressure. Give it a little bit more offer of prestige. Give it an offer of better possessions. A higher offer. It's amazing what men will begin to compromise on based on the fact that the offer went up. Oh, yes. It's amazing that Naboth, no matter how much pressure, imagine, this is the king. This is not some pauper making him an offer. It's the king of all the land. The president made you an offer.
give up some of your standards, some of your character, some of your morals, and be my buddy. Come along with me and my political affiliations and rub elbows with me. A little pressure. I'll take you out for a steak dinner. We'll recognize you all through Spruce Pine and all across North Carolina if you'll just hang out with me. But Naboth said, bless God, I don't care who you are. I'm not going to give in to pressure. And he says, well, what about prestige? I'll make you famous. Everybody will know. In fact, we'll say, when this garden is given to me, we'll call it Naboth's Vineyard. Well, honey, it's already Naboth's Vineyard. Well, we'll put up a plaque. We'll put up a statue of you standing there. We'll make you famous all across the land. And Naboth said, I don't care what the price is. I don't care what the pressure is. I don't care what prestige you got to offer. I'm going to follow God. He said, now, Naboth, you can have a relationship with the king. And everybody will recognize you. Naboth says, why do I want a relationship with the king when I've already got a relationship with the King of Kings? Amen. I'm thinking about a man by the name of Judas Iscariot, who's the treasurer of all the disciples that followed Jesus. He was handpicked by the Lord Jesus Christ to follow him. But when the pressure got on, he decided he would sell Jesus and betray him for 30 pieces of silver. He sold our Lord. God help. I think about the rich young ruler. And he came to Jesus and said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus named all 4 or 5 commandments. And the young man said, I've kept all these from my youth. But Jesus didn't name all 10 of them. He said, I tell you what, son, go sell what you have, give to the poor, and come follow me. He said, I can't do that. You see, here's the problem. He had another God that was going to be before Jesus. Have no other gods before me. And his God was his money. His God was his 401k account. His God was his retirement account. I've worked all my life to get to this place. Amen. And he sold out and he went away sorrowful. I'm thinking about a man by the name of Pontius Pilate, who when Jesus was brought before him and the soldiers and the elders said, he's worthy of death. And Pilate looked at him and examined him and he interviewed him and he came back and he said, I find no fault in him. In fact, Pilate said 3 different times, I find no fault in him. And yet the people said, we have no king but Caesar. And if you don't give in to this, we'll tell Caesar on you. And Pilate, afraid to lose his position in the government and afraid that tales would be told on him, he decided that he would have Jesus to be beaten and crucified unto death. And he got up with a water pot and washed his hands before the people and said, I'm innocent of the blood of this just man. Honey, I'm telling you, come in here this morning and the preacher can preach to you and tell you about Jesus. And when you leave, you can't just wash your hands in the bathroom under them hand sanitizer stations and say, well, now I'm free of this thing about Jesus. It will not work. Every man will have to make a decision. What will I do with Jesus? Amen. Naboth said, I'm not going to compromise no matter what the price. And he's going to die for his decision. I'm thinking about in a high school called Columbine over in the Midwest. The shooter came in there, found a young lady who was a professed Christian, stuck a gun up to her face and said, do you believe in your Jesus now? When she faced death, she said, yes, I believe. He said, go meet him or see him. And he pulled a trigger and shot her to death right on the spot. She gave her life. Hey, don't you know when she got to heaven, Jesus said, welcome home, honey. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You didn't give in. You stood up to the pressure. You didn't give in to the price. You didn't work. Hey, thank God for it. I'm thinking about a little boy who had begged and begged his daddy to go to church with him. His mama would take him and his sister to church, but his daddy would not go. In fact, the mama said something to him on Father's Day. Would you go to church with us? He got his newspaper and he threw it out. He said, I told you, don't you ever put pressure on me about going to church. I work 6 days a week to give you this house and to get a car. If you want to go to church, that's fine. Go ahead and ruin my Father's Day. I'd rather go to the lake. I'd rather go on a picnic. But if y'all need to go to church, go ahead on your day. But don't you bother me about it. The mama, she put the little new suit on the little boy and the little dress on the little girl. And she went off to church. They had a great Father's Day service. And when they came home, the daddy was sitting on the front porch reading his paper. The little boy changed out of his new suit and went and got his little shorts and a little shirt. And he got a little red ball out in the yard and he threw it and it hit a tree and bounced back to him. And he threw it, it hit a fence and bounced back to him. He said, Daddy, won't you come play ball with me? That daddy throwed that paper down and said, I already told you, boy. I'm not interested in going to church with you. I'm not interested in spending any time with you. Your daddy works 6 days a week and I need to rest and relax. Read my paper. Tell me what good news is in the newspaper. Amen. There's none. It's all terrible stuff in there. But he was more interested in the things of the world than going to church and serving Jesus than spending time with his little boy. His little boy threw that ball again. It hit that tree and bounced back. He threw it off that fence. It bounced back. And finally it hit a root one time and took a crazy bounce. It went out across the road. And that little boy went out through the gate. He didn't look and went to go get his ball. And about that time you could hear the screech of the tires. Impact. Hit that truck, hit that little boy, throwed him over in the ditch. That daddy throwed his paper down then. He took off running across that yard and he went out there to that ditch line where laid that little boy and blood running out of his mouth and running out of his ears. He's got broke bones. And that little boy said, will you go to church with me now, Daddy? Laying there in his arms, that little boy expired, went out to meet Jesus. And then they called 911 and all the workers came and they pronounced the little boy dead. And sure enough, they had his funeral right after Father's Day. Who am I preaching to today that we may have a funeral right after Father's Day? Somebody didn't come to church. Somebody said, I'd be better to watch it online. Some youngin's been begging you to come to the house of God. Your wife's been begging you to go to church. And it's time. Listen, your youngins, they want to spend time together in the house of God. They had the funeral. The man sat on the front row and he heard the preacher preach and talk about how this little boy was going to heaven. Was already there. Come the next Sunday, they come back to church. And that daddy was there for the first time in years. They came in for Sunday school. And as they dismissed, the daddy didn't know where to go. And one teacher said, will you go with me? And the other said, no, you go with me. We have a married class. We have a singles class. We have one for older men, one for middle-aged men. He said, I want to go to class where my little boy went. And he went downstairs. And he got in that little old bitty chair. The one he doesn't even fit in. And he wanted up in it. And it was a distraction nearby there. But he said, right here's where he heard about Jesus. I just want to be around where my boy was. He thanked the teacher for teaching so faithfully to his little boy. And he got up and he went to the upstairs. Brother Rim, they sang about Jesus. It came time for preaching. The preacher preached about Jesus. And when he gave an invitation, that old boy made his way to the altar and he said, my son's in heaven. And I'll never see him again because I'm on my way to hell. I was more interested in the things of this world than serving the God of all glory. And today, God, I'm asking you, would you save a wretch like me? Would you forgive me my sins and all the things I've neglected? I thought it was better my way. I thought I was vindicated. I thought I was satisfied. I wanted to be mad and angry and upset all the time. And here I am. And the Lord saved him that day. He got faithful in church. He became a Sunday school teacher himself. And finally, they made him the director of the whole Sunday school. You want to talk about somebody fired up about Sunday school? He was excited about what God was doing. He was a man of honorable practices. Listen, Naboth, you couldn't trip him up. You couldn't trip Naboth up. He's a man who stood for the truth. You know what they had to do to get Naboth? They had to lie on him. They had to pervert the truth and lie on him to get him in a place to say he blasphemed God so they could stone him to death. What about Daniel? Daniel was a man who is an honorable man. What would he do? They made a law. Daniel, if you pray, we're going to throw you in the lion's den. He said, honey, I pray 3 times a day. Watch this. He opened the window and he said, oh, Lord God of heaven. And they arrested him on the spot. Threw him down in the lion's den. The only way they could trip him up was tell lies on him. What about Paul? How'd they trip him up? He's a preaching machine who loved God, and they made preaching illegal, and they arrested him. What about Jesus? Hey, they couldn't even find anybody's false accusations line up, yet they crucified him anyway. These are men who are godly men who would not compromise the truth. I'm going to ask this question. I got to move on. Are there any men in this building today who will say, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to love my wife. I'm going to love my children. I'm going to stay away from the filth of the world. I'm going to stop the drinking and the carousing around. I'm going to live a life of purity and a life of integrity. And if they're going to bring me down, they're going to have to lie on me. Is there anybody in the house, men today, that say, I want to be a man of godly character? I want to be a man who is faithful. You may sit here today and say, well, I can tell you about preacher. There may be a wife here. There may be a daughter or a son that can say, I can tell you about some that's unfaithful. Let me tell you about them. Oh, boy. And I guarantee you, son, all over the house, if there's one man, one young man, one elderly man, you've made mistakes, people are not going to forget about it. But when you take that to Jesus and say, Jesus, will you forgive me of what I've done, what I've said, where I've been, what I'll be a part of? You know what Jesus will do? He'll forgive you. Amen. And the people say, well, I don't know, I don't know. I still remember what you did. Are you better than God? Amen. Are you bigger than Jesus to continue to hold and harbor? I mean, after all, are you perfect? Well, I'm not, but I didn't do that. Yeah, but there's a lot of other things you did do. I'm just telling you, if you want to be a man who's faithful, you've got to learn how to forgive one another. Now let's look at Ahab real quick. We're going to look, second of all, at a father who is failing. We're going to look at a man who is of a greedy character. Now I want you to look with me about Ahab. He's got a palace to live in. Obviously, he's got plenty. He's got money. He's got power. He's got possessions. And he demands. He says, give me. He didn't say please. He said, give me thy vineyard. Trade me thy vineyard. Sell your vineyard to me. Now I'm going to ask a question here. Why is he demanding? Because he's filled with one more thing, pride. As I look across this congregation, you that are of godly character, you men that are faithful, you ladies that are faithful, I would remind you that there's probably a little bit of Ahab in you too. Pride. Making demands. Said it ought to be a certain way. His desires are selfish. Now listen, if he's got other vineyards that are bigger or more fruitful, why does he have to have that one? Why does he need one more vineyard? You know why? Because the flesh is never satisfied. You'll get a raise and rather than thank God for it, you want another one. Hey, man, I can preach all day right there. I got to move on. Listen, note with me. He says in verse 2, look at it very closely. Look what Ahab said to Naboth. He said, give me thy vineyard that I may have it for a garden of herbs. He's going to take Naboth's vineyard and change it to a garden of herbs. See that? What the devil wants from you is he wants your witness, he wants your testimony, he wants your character, and when he gets it, his intention is to change it. Not for something useful, for something that only looks good. But listen, you're not ever going to be satisfied eating herbs. Hey, when you go out today, you don't go down to the herb house, you go to the steakhouse. When you get you something to eat, you get peanut butter and jelly. What did you have today on your bread? Oh, I got some herbs. That's what I like herbs. Hey, the devil is not going to give you anything to satisfy you. It's going to look good, but it'll never, ever satisfy your soul. And Naboth told the king, he said, listen, to your old haughty perspective, to your old ways of pride, no, I'm not giving it to you. No, I'm not trading it to you. No, I'm not going to sell it to you for more money. And the Bible says, here's King Ahab, verse 4. He went back to his house heavy and displeased, and he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face, and he would eat no bread. And Jezebel come home. King Ahab, honey, darling, have you had a good day? King Ahab, where are you? Have you had a good day? No. No, I've not had a good day. Why have you not had a good day, darling? Because I said to Naboth, give me your vineyard. I even said, trade it to me. I even said, sell it to me. I got plenty of money. I'll never miss it. And you know what he told me? He told me no. Now I know there's not a daddy here that's ever pouted, or ever sulked, or got disgusted. But I guarantee you I'm preaching to at least one in the house today. That when you didn't get your way, when you didn't get your want, your wants fulfilled, you got angry and upset and laid down and had a pity party. Preacher Darren, I didn't want to talk about it. I'm telling you, you was in a lousy shape. And he's upset. And the wife, look at verse number 7. Look at verse number 7. Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Is what she's saying. Well, honey, who's he to tell you no? I'm going to put it in mountain terms. Ain't you the king? Ain't he supposed to do what you say? Oh, sir. When they didn't do what you said to do, you got angry. You're so controlling. And it's time you gave up some of that controlling authority that you have in your mind. Said, you do what I say. Preacher Darren, you do what I say. You go this way. Now you go that way, Preacher Darren. And now, Preacher Darren, you go that way. Amen. It's amazing how people want other people to do what they say. And if you don't want to do what I say, I quit. I'm just going to lay down and quit. The king of all the land is filled with pride. And Jezebel said, honey, ain't you the king? In fact, ain't I the queen? You may have more authority than me, but I'm second in command. Don't you worry about this, darling, says his wife. I'll take care of it. Been a many a young man ruined by a wife having to have her way. Henpecked. Well, my wife's just too aggressive. No, your leadership's too weak. It's time you reeled her back in and said, now listen, honey, that's not the right thing to do here. But I'm telling you, she said, I'm going to go down there and I'm going to write a letter. Now I'm going to proclaim a feast, and we're going to set him up on high, and we're going to say, blaspheme God, and then we're going to have him stoned absolutely to death. Hear me. There's some of you men, you think that when you came in today, we had a wedding yesterday, that rose petals should be thrown out before you when you come. You're so filled with pride. I've been in this church 33 years, and I'm a... Doesn't matter who you are. The youngest convert has as much power as you. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. And I know you may not want to hear it, but it's the truth. Listen, Preacher Darren, I'm not filled with pride. Pride cometh before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And there's some of you men in your house that if you don't get what you want, if she doesn't do what you say, if the kids don't do what you say, you just quit. And you sulk. And nobody knows how to act around you. Everybody's walking on eggshells. Don't say anything, he might get mad. Amen, Preacher Darren. It's the truth. Now here's a man who wouldn't stand up. And his wife says, I'm going to take care of this thing for you. And he says, well, just go ahead. And she spread lies and she has Naboth stoned to death. And who allowed it? King Ahab. He allowed heinous things just to acquire property. He was a man of greed. I got to get off of this. So we've talked two things. There's a father that's faithful in Naboth. And there's a father that is a failure in Ahab. Which one do you want to be? Thirdly, which father to follow? King Ahab, the man of a greedy character, the man who served false gods and wouldn't serve the Lord God, he killed to take possession. I didn't read it in your hearing, but would you give me the opportunity to read verse 18 and 19? Look with me. Verse 18. Now, Naboth has been stoned, and Ahab goes into that vineyard to take possession of it and says, oh, look what I've gotten for me. Verse 18. God's told Elijah, arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he's gone down to possess it. Thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where the dogs lick the blood of Naboth, even dogs shall lick thy blood, even thine. And Ahab said to Elijah, hast thou found me, O my enemy? In other words, O man of God, have you come down here to accuse me? Are you saying I've done something wrong? Are you saying I'm filled with pride? Are you saying I'm selfish? Are you saying I'm greedy? Are you saying I'm controlling and I'm demanding? You say that stuff about me? He answered, I have found thee because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Amen. Naboth wouldn't sell out, but you did. Amen. You sold out to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Oh my. While we're close, let's turn to chapter 22, verse 34. You see Ahab go out to battle. Verse 34 says, and a certain man drew a bow at a venture and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Can you see Ahab? He's headed back for home. He thinks the battle's over. And one guy just pulls a random sword, boom, arrow, and lets it go. And it hits Ahab. And the Bible says, are you there? Verse 37. So the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. And one washed the chariot in the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood, and they washed his armor according unto the word of the Lord which he spake. The dogs came and licked the blood of Ahab on that very spot. While you're close, look at verse 51. Let's look at Ahab's son. That boy that was raised in iniquity and in a world of idols, not raised in the house of God, not taught about values and precepts and character. What's that boy going to turn out to be? Ma'am, sir, listen, I'm over here. Look at me. What is going to happen to your children if you continue living and selling out to the world and living a life of unforgiveness? You tell your children to forgive when another child takes their cereal, or when they maybe hit them by accident. You tell them to forgive, but you know why they won't? Because they're learning it from you. You're the one that won't forgive. You're the one that's controlling. You're the one that's pouting up and jumping up and down like a little child. They learn this behavior from you. I'm a preacher there, and I tell you, I just, have you found me? Are you accusing me? I have found thee. And if you continue down this path, the dogs are going to lick your blood. You're going to lose your whole family. Look at Ahab's son, Ahaziah, found in verse 51. Ahaziah the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel in Samaria, the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. And he reigned 2 years in Israel, over Israel. He did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father and in the way of his mother. Verse 53, for he served Baal and worshipped him and provoked to anger the Lord God of Israel according to all that his father had done. Ahab is dead and the dogs licked his blood. Ahab's son, Ahaziah, is continuing down that same path. He served 2 years and God had him killed. And they put his brother in office and he was just as wicked. What happened to Queen Jezebel? Oh, I'm glad you asked. In 2 Kings chapter 9, we have a new king. He was a captain. His name is Jehu. Queen Jezebel, she thought she was something. In verse number 33, let's read verse 30. 2 Kings chapter 9. Preacher, you're taking too long. I'm not preaching tonight. I'm not having service tonight. We're going to get it all out right now. Verse 30. When Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it. She painted her face and tired her head and looked out a window. Here's what she's thinking. We got a new king here. I'll just put on my little queen attire. I'll look so pretty as a woman. And I'll bat my little eyelashes. And I'll get him to do whatever it is I want him to do. I've done it my whole life. And as Jehu entered in at the gate, he said, have Zimri peace. Who slew his master? He lifted up his face in the window. And he said, who is on my side? Who? And there looked out to him two or three eunuchs. And he said, throw her down. So they threw her down. And some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses. And he trode her underfoot. And when he was come in, he did eat and drink. And said, go see now this cursed woman and bury her. For she is, or was, she is the king's daughter. They went to bury her, but they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hand. Wherefore they came again and told him, and he said, this is the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, in the portion of Jezreel shall dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel. They wouldn't eat her skull, because her mind was too wicked. They wouldn't eat her feet, because her feet would have been too wicked running into mischief. They wouldn't eat her hands because she had such bloodshed on her hands. Even a dog said, I ain't going to participate with that. We're talking about what was the end of a greedy family? The dogs licking up your blood. There's no honor in that. You come in here today, your little three-piece suit on, nice dress, you look so pretty. Daddy, God bless you. Thank you for being here with your family. Ma'am, thank you. God bless you, sister. Thank you for coming to church today. But I don't care how dressed up and tired up you get yourself. If you decided in your heart of hearts that you're not going to serve God, well, I'm serving Him to the best of your ability. Your children. We had a bunch of daddies standing. If you're a daddy, that means you have children. Your children know what you're doing. They're not fooled by what you hide in the refrigerator. They're not fooled by the fact you're never available to talk to them or be around them. They're not fooled by the conversations you have on your telephone. They're not fooled by the fighting you and your mom and daddy do. My mom and daddy, they made a decision in their home. Said if we ever fight, we're going to go to another room and the children will never know. I never knew of my parents to say a cross word to each other. Never. They did not believe in divorce. They believed in murder. They said there's a few times they thought they was going to kill one another. But we, my brother and I, never knew. Your children, they know how you fight with your wife, sir. They know how you treat her. And they know how you're treating them. Ma'am, your children know how you're treating your husband. And they're going to grow up the same way and do even worse. If it's okay for mama, if it's okay for daddy, it's okay for me. I was going to be honest with you. This is not in my notes. If you looked at my notes, none of this is in my notes. It's just coming out like a belch, and I'm not going to say I'm sorry. Let's look at one more. Which father to follow? Do you want to follow this man who's a failure? Do you want to follow this man who's filled with pride and filled with greed? A man of greedy character? I hope not. There's one more that we could follow. He's a man that presents to us hopeful prospects. He stood for the right. Oh, but preacher Darren! He stood for the right, but they killed him. It looks like weakness to me. Jesus stood for the right. They walked him up Calvary's hill, and they didn't take his life. He laid it down. He had power to lay it down, and he had power to take it back up again. Now, Naboth is a picture, but Naboth did not have the power to stop what was happening to him. And they stoned him and killed him, and they took away his vineyard. But I have a question to ask. Did they take away the vine? Because when they stoned him, they seized his property. But the true vine, Jesus said, I'm the true vine. The one that gives us joy and the one that gives us true love and fellowship, they'll never take Jesus away from us. And when he got home, the true vine said, welcome home, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. And Naboth said, yes, I'm home. Hallelujah. Look what I've traded for a mansion. Oh, look what I'm leaving behind. Well, thank God. Now, here's Naboth. He's been taken away from his vineyard, but he's not taken away from the vine. I thought about something else here. He's got leaving behind a distinctive legacy. And you're in chapter 9, right? Richard Aaron, I don't even know that Naboth had any children. I've not read anywhere that Naboth has children. Look at verse 26. You're in the right chapter. Chapter 9, verse 26. Now this is Jehu talking. Surely I have seen yesterday the blood of Naboth and the blood of his sons, saith the Lord. I will requite thee in this plat, saith the Lord. Now think about what that means. The Lord's defending him. Yeah, but he died. Yeah, he's going to live forever now. And the Lord's going to defend him. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. The Lord said that Ahab's going to die and the dog's going to lick his blood. God said his family will not prosper. God said even Jezebel is going to be thrown off the wall and the dogs are going to come and eat her and lick up the blood except for her skull, her hands, and her feet. That's what's going to happen. But what about Naboth? Even his children, they saw their daddy faithful to the end. And when his children said, this is what happened. That vineyard, though you took it from my daddy, now it belongs to me. And I'm going to stand where my daddy stood. I'm talking to somebody. You got a daddy that's in heaven now. He'd been a godly man. Man, he was so faithful to church. And now daddy's gone. Granddaddy's gone. God said, I'm looking for somebody who'll step and say, you ain't taking my family's character. You're not taking their testimony, their witness. Granddaddy may be gone. Daddy may be gone, but I'm his child, and I'm going to step in his place, and I'm going to be faithful just as Naboth was faithful. And you know what she did? She killed them too. She killed them too. That she even killed Naboth's very own children. I'll tell you something. If we have to lay down our lives for the cause of Christ, so be it. I mean, something's going to take me out anyway. I'm going to die of a heart attack or a car wreck or a cancer. Or maybe he's going to rapture me home. But I want to live my life and lay it down serving Jesus Christ. I want to die on the battlefield. I want to be faithful to the end. I appreciate men who will start, but I want some men who will finish to the end. Naboth was faithful to the end. His sons were faithful to the end. Which father will you follow? May I just say, if you want to follow the greed of Ahab, you'll have some possessions. There's pleasure in sin for a season, but the end is not good. But if you want to follow the godly character of the Naboth, God will bless you with honor, and He will bless you with all of eternity. Don't sell out to a world that's already sold. You stand to your feet. I want you to come play. I want you to play just as I am. I'm talking to a daddy here. It's your best intention to be a man that's faithful to the end. But you need to recognize something right now. You cannot do this on your own. You're going to need the help of the Lord Jesus Christ and of the Holy Spirit. And I'm asking, is there anybody, is there a man, is there a woman, is there somebody in the house to say, you know what, Lord? I want to be faithful to my Master. I want to be a servant all the way for Jesus. God, would you help me? I've got a wife. I've got a husband. I've got children. I've got a testimony, a witness to the lost and dying world. And I want to be faithful to the end for the cause of Christ. Would you come? Our Father and our God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for a man by the name of Naboth who was willing to lay down his life to stand for the cause of truth and right. And Lord, he didn't sell out to an Ahab that was already sold. He stood. And though he had to lay down his life, you defended and vindicated him. And everyone was still saying, years later, that's what the God of Naboth had to say. This is the doings of the Lord. Father, I pray that God would help me in my relationship, in my home, to my wife, that I might be a godly character and lead her in the right way and love her in the right way. And that God, in the home, I might have a good testimony and a good witness before my children, that I've loved them. And God, I've not sold them out. And God, I've tried to live up to the standards of the Word of God. And Father, I prayed for them and gave to them everything that you've given to me. God, I love my children. And God, I pray, Father, if they should have children one day, that God, you'd touch them, you'd save them, you'd raise them up for the cause of Christ. Lord, I pray, Father, as a pastor, and God, you'd help me lead this church in the ways that are pleasing unto you, Father. God, that we'd have a good testimony, uncompromised, unspotted from the world. God, living in a way that would be pleasing unto you, Father. Not living for God, for greed, not living for worldly gain, but living for godly grit, living for godly character, living for the cause and the honor of Christ. Thank you for the souls that are saved. God, I pray for homes that hang in the balance. God, I pray that there'd be forgiveness. It would be practiced. There'd be restoration. God, there'd be joy. There'd be fellowship. God, the will of God would be accomplished. That children might be raised and brought to a place of salvation. That they might serve Christ's will. Touch this church, God, I pray. Help us, God, not to sell out our convictions. The stance of the Word of God. Help us, Lord, not to give in to political pressures and social agendas. For this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.